Before we engage God's word, I'd like to, not only would I like to, but I'm going to call Barry and Mary Jo Graber to please come and join me up front. If you were here with us last week, you witnessed 19 out of 21 of the individuals that went through membership class be taken into membership. And today we have the other two. Mary Jo was feeling under the weather last week, but she's better and she's here now. And so we would just like to officially welcome them. Mary Jo, having met the requirements of the Constitution and bylaws of Hinckley Evangelical Free Church, having completed the classes and coming before the Elder Board to give your testimony of faith and being approved by the congregation, it is my pleasure to extend to you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you into the membership of Hinckley Evangelical Free Church. Barry, having met the requirements of the Constitution and bylaws of Hinckley Evangelical Free Church, going through the classes, completing them, meeting with the elders to give your testimony of faith, and being approved by the congregation, it is my pleasure to extend to you the right hand of fellowship and to welcome you into the membership of Hinckley Evangelical Free Church. Thank you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, and we know that membership in the local church is a privilege, it's a blessing to be gathered in this place. And we thank you for Barry and Mary Jo and for all those who went through the classes and have signed on the bottom line because they say that they believe what we believe and as a church and as a body and are willing to use the gifts that you've given them to serve you through this institution. We are grateful, Lord, that it is a living organism and that you, Christ, are our head. And so we pray your hand of blessing upon them and upon our entire body. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, church. I hope you are well rested. In your handout for our time in God's Word today, at the very top, you will notice that there's like a little review of the last couple of weeks. We have been engaging the topic of spiritual warfare, and we will continue to do that. We do have some psalms that are coming up here pretty soon, but we are in our third week, and in the first 2 weeks, we address the ideas of, well, for Christianity, it's truth. The world and the flesh and the devil, it's lies. In Christianity, it is, what is it? What's the second one say? Submission. Submission. It's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough word. And with the world, the flesh, and the devil, it is rebellion. Today, we are engaging a topic that well, I'll just put it this way. It could be a little painful. But we're dealing with spiritual warfare. And so as we come to the idea this morning, the topic, the way in which the world, the flesh, and the devil come at us, it's important for us, I think, to review and understand where we're coming from as followers of Christ, because as a follower of Christ, our life is dynamic. The following Christ is a dynamic thing. It's fluid. It's not compartmentalized. It doesn't fit in little boxes and little categories. We exist together and it flows together. You know, maybe you don't experience spiritual warfare in the arena of deceit, but you do in one of the subsequent ones, or vice versa, you know. And so it's not as if, you know, we're punching a card on a topic. Because I don't know, and maybe you don't know either, when the world, the flesh, and the devil will rear their ugly heads and come up and bite you and grab you with a lie or with rebellion, or with the topic for today, or in subsequent weeks. There are particular things in our walk with God, whether they be disciplines, spiritual warfare, missions, purpose, kingdoms, that the kingdom living, that aren't isolated ideas. They flow together. And they flow together under one very specific kind of umbrella that you have probably heard before and adapted into your life, and it comes from Scripture. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. That's why we exist. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, I don't know if you recognize this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. In 2011, two Scandinavian individuals, Marcus Pressen, who's better known as Notch, and Jeb Johansson, I think that's how you say his last name, Jensen, who's better known as Jeb, developed a video game that has become the most popular video game in the world for all time. Better known to enthusiasts as Minecraft. It's a wonderful sandbox little game. Notch no longer is the head of the company, but it was in 2011, and I have been playing Minecraft for, 13 years? 2024? 13 years? And there are websites where you can get schematics. This is a schematic of how to build circles in Minecraft. It doesn't give you materials and those kinds of things, but you can see the radius is there from 2 all the way up to 52. It's a schematic. It's a plan of how to achieve a circle in this sandbox game. And all of you are probably going, yeah, what's the point? Who cares, Pastor? It's no really big deal. Well, let me show you what the big deal is, all right? That's the big deal. I mean, you could spend days, hours. I mean, and people do, all right? There are builders on YouTube that make a living in Minecraft building these kinds of things. You can see the size of this castle in comparison to the trees. And you can buy the schematic to build that castle online on his Patreon account. You can do that. And everybody should be starting to yawn now, about now, right? Except for me and Josiah. All right, that's okay. It's all right, all right. And maybe a few others, okay? I don't know, you know. I'm a 56-year-old man, and yes, I mean, I'm not joking. I play Minecraft. I just absolutely think it's wonderful. There are all kinds of sites that you can go to, but we are talking about a different schematic today. There is a plan, and I would invite you to stand as we read God's Word together. From 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Stand as you are able. The Word of God reads, "But I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful? This is the very thing I wrote you, so that when I came, I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy would be the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have, especially for you. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him, for to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes, in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Satan has schemes. And it's not Minecraft. Satan attacks the body of Christ. The world, the flesh, and the devil, that unholy trinity, work in concert. But with respect to the issue that we're dealing with in spiritual warfare today, I believe we can see in this text that God's forgiving evidences love. Paul describes his love for the Corinthians and the sorrow and the engagement that he had with that church. And he speaks to them specifically about forgiving. Paul has written, we have two letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but Paul has written a number of letters to the church at Corinth, quite possibly a total of four, if not more. They were a church that was metropolitan, diverse, and had a lot of problems. Every chapter in 1 Corinthians has a problem in it that he's dealing with. Deep-seated, horrible, sinful problems. And so he confronts them by letters. And in this letter, when he went to visit them, there was a particular individual that confronted Paul and caused a great deal of sorrow. And so he writes a letter to the church that you and I don't have. It's not in Scripture, because it's not Scripture, in which he confronts this individual, and the church supports Paul and causes this man much sorrow. And so Paul is saying, enough of this sorrow in this passage. We are called to better things. God calls them to forgive and to love. Romans 5:8 says, "For God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrates his love by providing his son Jesus Christ for sinners to be forgiven of their sins. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we read, "Be kind to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Be quick to forgive, slow to anger, slow to judge, slow, but be quick to forgive, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So I've tipped my hand, and you know what aspect of Christianity, the answer to the problem in spiritual warfare, is forgiveness. Forgiving each other. Do you do that easily? Are you quick to forgive? Do you recognize a need to forgive others quickly? As we proceed, I firmly believe that today might get a little painful in the next 30 minutes. I don't know about you, but I've listened to a few people have conversation with them. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have had a week that's been kind of, you know, you would have rather just stay home than people today. Just kind of needle, just, you know, a thorn in the flesh, a kind of angst in your week somewhere. I don't want you to show your hands. I had quite a week. Quite a week. And I believe I know it's because of this message. That the world, the flesh, and the devil were unhappy that we were going to be addressing this. And so they were throwing the kitchen sink in directions. Remember, maybe forgiveness is addressed to more than just this aspect of spiritual warfare, because our lives in Christ are somewhat fluid. With respect to the unholy Trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil is specifically mentioned in this passage. Okay, in the other passages that we've looked at so far, the world, the flesh, and the devil have all been there. The flesh is here a little bit in this, but you got to kind of dig around for it, you know. And the world is a silent partner in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but still there. The devil is mentioned specifically. In the sorrowful letter, there was an interaction between Paul and some individual there. And this individual was punished by the majority and made sorrowful for their part in all of it. And Paul says, okay, that's enough. If you keep on punishing this individual, if you keep on relating to this individual the way you have been relating to him, it may be excessive and you will cause him sorrow. And this should not be so. But rather, you should comfort him and love him and forgive him. And if you forgive him, then I can forgive him for your sakes in Christ Jesus, he says. The world, the flesh, and the devil work together in these things. And the first, there's only one point today, beloved. There's only one point. No 3 points in a poem in the sermon, just one point. Deal with the pain. Deal with the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the that comes our way each and every day through other people. In, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I could be wrong about the reference. 1 Corinthians 6. Nope, it is. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Very, very familiar passage. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You are not your own, but we have this thing inside of us that often can be offended, that can be hurt, that can be sinned against, that can cause us to get angry, us to be resentful, and for us to turn to bitterness. Often, the cause of this pain in us is internal, because we think we are our own. We are offended. We have a standard for something that somebody has violated. We have an expectation that isn't being realized. I was watching a marriage video this week, and the wife was talking, and she confessed a resentment towards her husband and how it is that the Lord brought her through that. And here's where the resentment developed. She grew up in a home that during the winter, the sidewalk and driveway was kept pristine. It was constantly shoveled. You know, one flake and it was just clean. And that's how she was raised. Her husband was raised with the attitude in a family that God put the snow there, he'll remove it in the spring. So he, who is the head of the Christian home, who is to support and love his family, of course, would shovel the walkway and the driveway, and he never did. And she found herself out there shoveling because he wouldn't do it, and the resentment would grow, and it would grow, and it would grow, until there was a root of bitterness in her, and she just dreaded the snow. And she held that against her husband until she woke up one day and the Lord did a work in her and she finally understood. And then she went out. She never asked him to shovel. She went out to shovel and she thought, you know what? Now that I've dealt with the resentment, this is my me time. I'm out here in the quiet. I get good exercise. I'm blessing my family. It was a matter of her perspective because she had an expectation that wasn't being met. And when it wasn't met, the resentment built until she took a different look at it and forgave her husband for his obvious upbringing. We sometimes have an ownership in things that is over-realized. I have a study here. It's got my books in it. Is that my study? Is that off limits? Is that sacred space? Is that not to be used for other things? Is it my study? Am I going to? It's an over-realized ownership. No. No, we use that on Wednesday night for Summit Kids because the whole building is full. This is ministry. I am not my own. Right? But believe me, that's not an easy place for me to get to. You know, if you walk into my study and you start touching my books, we might have a problem. Because I have an over-realized ownership. You should respect my boundaries. Right? Now, I haven't been here long enough. And so I'm going to use a very specific example. I have no idea what the history is. I don't want to know what the history is. I am not doing this to offend whoever this history involves. Okay? But I've been part of churches and places that have an over-realized ownership of things. And they put signs up for their ownership of things. And downstairs, there are two signs in the little utility room that houses all of our napkins and dishes and plates. And the sign says, please check plastic container in the island before opening a new package. Okay, now this could be a good stewardship. This could be because, you know, we don't want to just, you know, have 35 different open bags of cups, right? Okay, or this could be an over-realized ownership. Okay, they're not your cups. They're not your plates. They're God's plates. They're to be used for church ministry. I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying the potential is here for resentment. You could resent the men's ministry for using your cups and your napkins. There's 25 of us. We have our own stuff. It's labeled men's stuff. It's right there. Youth group might use your hot cocoa. Oh no, that's my hot cocoa. You can't use my coffee. Okay. Some of you are smiling and some of you aren't. Okay? Because this resentment thing is very real. Okay? And I'm not saying that whoever put this up has that. This is laminated, people. Somebody took some time. Yep. My brother ain't wrong. Okay, but I'm so glad we're laughing because when we get to point three, the third section of this 1 point deal with the pain, you know, right now somebody in this room might need to forgive me. I might have caused something right now by bringing this out and have just somebody. I know that. I know that. I prayed a lot about doing this. Okay? I don't have a lot of pastoral chips so far. I haven't really earned a lot to be able to, you know, confront that kind of stuff. Because we have these things. We have an image of our own import that is inflated. And we easily are offended and we resent people, the things they say, the things they do, the way they are, their personalities. It creeps up in us and it's painful. And we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. It is the glory of a man to overlook an offense. We deal with the pain because of what can happen. And what can happen is devastating. Once we are offended, we can get angry. Now, that might stay or stick, or we might just overlook it and move on, and that's okay. But if it does stick, even if it's not hot anymore, that resentment will color our view of the body of Christ and each other. I have heard a Christian man say about another Christian man, he lied to me 25 years ago. And that has clouded his opinion of that man for 25 years. No forgiveness. Just a resentment, a category. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, called to love each other, forgive each other the way God has forgiven us in Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 14 through 17. This is what can happen, beloved. Let's start at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So he's talking about body life. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Now, in about 18 weeks, you can come to men's study, and we can talk about Esau. Okay, that's probably sometime in September. Okay, and now Dale has an opportunity to resent me because I just offended him by saying that. But did you see what the root of bitterness does here? What can happen is that it doesn't just affect my brother and me. It affects many. It defiles many. It's like a gangrene or a cancer that just spreads in the body. And it starts out over small things, and it turns into this blackness, this growth, this souring, this ownership, this paradigm in the body of Christ that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God and everything to do with the kingdom of self. That's what can happen. The witness of the church is ruined. The reputation of the church is ruined. It becomes a club of like-minded people that as soon as you walk in there, you're not staying. It affects the entire body. I had a gout flare up this morning. Okay? And it's in my right toe. And when that happens, my whole body is affected. It's not just the toe. I can't walk. I can't sit down. I can't put my shoes on. Can't take my shoes off. It's miserable. So I double pumped on the tart cherry that my doctor said to take. And the gout is gone. The uric acid just got, you know, it's all. When we have resentment in our hearts, the pill that God gives us, when the devil has a scheme and a plan, is forgiveness. Not being unforgiving. And it's hard. It's hard to forgive other people. Well, only God can really forgive. I'm not God. I can't. We are commanded to forgive. That's what can happen. The root of bitterness can happen, and it can defile many. It will keep us separated from one another when we should be building towards unity. It's in our prayer list every week. Unity in the church. God forgives, Him forgiving evidences love. Deal with the pain, and how we deal with the pain, the actual work of forgiving. Is 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 11, where we started today. And when Paul is addressing, in verse 6, he says, "Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow." Some things that you and I are offended by, kind of are reached into the category of the mundane. They're really not that big of a deal, but they're a big deal to us. You know, it's those little things that kind of encroach, you know, that build up. You know, there are mundane things. But resentment and bitterness can be over significant and horrible things as well. Can you imagine being a spouse who is abused by their spouse? And you come into my office, in my study, and we sit down, and there's a resentment in your heart, and one of the first things I say to you is that you need to forgive them? Am I crazy? Don't even ask me to forgive that person. Are you out of your mind? Do you know what they did to me? The answer is no. But let me ask you this. Is your resentment towards them a sin? According to Scripture, according to God's Word, yes, it is. And you're going to confess your sins and go to God to ask Him to forgive you when you're unwilling to forgive? I know what I'm asking. I know what God is asking. He knows. And the only way that you and I can actually forgive each other is if we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. If you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if the Holy Spirit is not indwelling in you, you got to start there. You've got to come before God and say, "Lord, I am a sinner in need of your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I trust you today. Come into my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be." And that's a forgiving person. Do you know people, Christians, that have lived through some stuff and that's all they talk about? And you can hear the resentment that's there, the struggle, not the freedom of forgiveness that it brings. The devil, we are not unaware of his schemes. And some things are mundane, and yet they're ours. Mundane. This is not horrific. It's not a big deal. Overlook it. Let it go. It's all good. I mean, on both sides of this. You know, organize, great. If you're using the cups, great. Are you offended by this sign? I'm not offended by this sign. Keep it organized. That's cool. I can surrender to this. I can look in the plastic bin. This is no big deal. Like my brother said, I'm going to make sure it's up, and I'm going to live by it. It's not a big deal. I don't need to forgive anybody for that. It's water off my, you know. And some things are just absolutely horrific. And God does forgive us for our bitterness, but that's the actual work. Resentment comes easy. Bitterness comes easy. And it's a scheme of the world, the flesh, and the devil. As Paul pointed out to the Corinthians. And so what's next? Got to have the correct standard. Standards have to be scriptural. We're not talking about doctrinal things and truth things. We're talking about interpersonal things. So we go to where it is written. The Holy Spirit and you. If in your heart today, at some point, you said to your own self, I certainly hope so-and-so is listening to this. That might be an indication that there is some resentment in your heart towards that individual. Some kind of bitterness, some kind of that you need to deal with, maybe. I can't say for sure. But I know that the Holy Spirit's working. And this is a hard one. Because it's so easy for us to be offended by absolutely everything. How much of your social media feeds are somebody screaming because they're offended by something? Cultural appropriation. This, that, and the other thing. It's everywhere. Resentment is a high value in our culture as a positive thing. It gets likes and clicks and views, and influencers who are critical of other people are making money off of resentment. This should not be so in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit in you. And here's something that's just absolutely true of all of the spiritual warfare. All of it. Okay? Most of it, the world, the flesh, and the devil, needs a bit of confession and repentance on our part. Okay? When we sin in our flesh, when we lie, when we rebel, when we resent, we need to confess that to God, seek His forgiveness, and turn away from it. Repent of it. Don't just muster up love in your heart and try to be a better Christian. Try to follow Jesus better. Repent of it. Be done with it. And cling to Christ. And then we love each other. We love each other. Love covers a multitude of sins. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You and I are not our own. We are His. Don't harbor a grudge in your heart. Don't take your own vengeance. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus Christ is our example. When he was being reviled, he didn't revile back. He even says so. I could call down legions of angels. The only authority that you have here, Pilate, is one that my Father gave you. But he didn't hurl an abuse at him. He died for his sins, loving one another. Sitting in this room, being part of the body, we need to forgive. We need to be reconciled to one another. Maybe there's somebody in this room, somebody somewhere, that 25 years ago lied to you that you need to go to and say, I forgive you, and be done with the resentment. The scripture teaches us that if our brother has offended us, that we should leave our offering at the altar and go and be reconciled. God says that we are to leave church. If the Spirit moves in us and realizes that we need to be reconciled to somebody, now don't all run for the door. But that's how serious this is. Maybe we should all run for the door. Maybe I should have just ended with that. I don't know. We need to love one another, and then we need to get the log out of our own eye. Get the log out of your eye. I'm just going to let that sit there. Because you and I understand and know how this works. How can we correct a brother or sister in Christ who's got a speck in their eye when there's a complete log in our own? That's why my week was because I knew I was going to be saying these things. And every little resentment, every little thought, every little attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil was like a bright neon sign to me. Okay, Junior, what are you going to do? I didn't succeed. But I worked on the log, and it's tough. It's hard work. Psalm 37, verses 5 through 9 say this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Wait. Rest. Forgive. And if you need to deal with defilement, if there's a root of bitterness, go. That's a repeat of loving one another, of being reconciled to one another. Go. Don't wait. If you need to. If you can just forgive and let it go, there's no reason to pick scabs. But if you need to, go. Deal with the defilement. So that we might be a body united, a body that honors what God has done for us in Christ by forgiving. and a body that is a sweet aroma, not only to God, but to everyone that we encounter. So that when they walk in, they know that the Spirit of the Lord is here. It's not about our reputation. It's not about our building a ministry. It's not about us at all. It's about Him entirely and His glory and His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I don't know if you play Minecraft, but I do know that you face the schemes of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I do know that God has given us His answer for this scheme of the devil of resentment and bitterness. And that is to forgive each other.